For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Broadbent. Joining me once again is my co-host, Richie O'Leary. Rutgers has another commitment in the transfer portal for the basketball team. They landed University of San Diego's PJ Hayes. He's a 6'6", 215-pound wing who's a three-point specialist who played at D2 his first 3 years of college, played a year at San Diego under Steve Lavin, and he's now on his way to Rutgers for his final year of eligibility. Big-time commitment for this program who needed a three-point specialist, and they landed him in PJ Hayes. We'll get into all of that and more, but first, the presenting sponsor of the Night Report podcast is Night and Day Apparel, calling all Rutgers students, alumni, and fans. Are you looking for new and unique Rutgers merchandise? Night and Day Apparel has you covered. From t-shirts and hoodies to drinkware and pet accessories, Night and Day focuses on providing the Rutgers community with exclusive one-of-a-kind tailgating products. Be sure to check out the links in today's podcast description to their website and social media so you can stay on top of everything Night and Day, including new merch drops and promotional announcements. Shop now and keep shopping. So let's talk about PJ Hayes. How did Rutgers end up landing this kid, and what level of player and addition to the program do you see PJ Hayes being?
Yeah, so he entered the portal, I don't even know now. What's it like? A couple weeks ago. I don't know the exact date. I forget when it was. But as soon as he entered the portal, Rutgers was one of the first names to contact him. It started out with Coach Schmoke contacting him. A couple days later, we reported that Steve Pikel had a phone call with him. They talked a little bit. I think he just, I don't know if it was a graduation or something yesterday, or the other day, whatever it was. He had to do something on school on campus. He's just finishing up classes and stuff like that. Got on campus back on the 15th, and that was it. That really just sealed the deal. There was a dead period coming up on May 22nd, so this was kind of his last and only visit. So they got him. They secured him. It's a great addition. You got the shooter, the sharpshooter you want it, and this is just a kid that they reached out to as soon as he got in the portal, and that was it. They kind of just sold him there. And a lot of schools reach out to him. It wasn't just Rutgers. Like, Iowa had him on a little bit of a back burner type thing. Seton Hall wanted him pretty badly. I know Butler showed some interest. St. Mary's showed some interest. A couple other West Coast Conference schools showed some interest, which makes sense because he was at San Diego or University of San Diego. So, this is just a very, very good get for Rutgers.
Yeah, and he's kind of traversed the country in his college career. So he's a kid who's from Waconia, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So he went to high school in Minnesota, went to college for his first 3 years at Black Hills State, which is a D2 program in South Dakota. Mm-hmm. He entered the transfer portal last year, ends up at San Diego under Steve Lavin, has a pretty good year there. He shot 39.7% from three last year on pretty high volume. So he averaged almost six threes a game, and he hit almost 40% of his threes a game. Shot 79% from the line, averaged three rebounds a game, one assist a game, a little bit less than one steal a game. It's a guy who doesn't turn the ball over a lot. In his career, He has 83 turnovers in 106 games, so he's reliable with the ball in his hands. He was an even better shooter at Black Hills State. He shot 45% from three his last season there on 183 attempts that year. So he's a dead-on shooter. If you look at his kind of underlying numbers, he's in the 94th percentile at catching three shots from beyond the arc. 94% of his shots came from beyond the arc or at the rim. So you love to see that. That mirrors a lot of the guys that they targeted this offseason. You look at Zach Martini's shot chart. It looks very similar. Mm-hmm. Very decisive shooter. He's getting the ball and he's putting it up quick. He's got a very quick trigger on his shot. He's best utilized, in my opinion, as a spot-up shooter. He's not going to – he doesn't have the foot speed to kind of create his own shot. But if mm-hmm. you can, you know, drive and kick it out to him in the corner, he's really good at corner threes. Just a really – a guy who fits in perfectly for this team, because you're going to have a lot of guys who can slash to the rim or kick it out. And you know, can have an extra defender suck in to, try and contest a shot from Dylan Harper or Jeremiah Williams. If you have a guy like PJ Hayes or Zach Martini in the corners, you're going to really stress test the defense regularly. So big time pickup. What are some more of your thoughts on the PJ Hayes addition?
Yeah. Like you said, he's a really good shooter. He's probably not going to start if I had to guess, but he'll come off the bench. And this team is just deep now, because you have so many different guards. I shouldn't say just guards. You have so many different like players that can play multiple positions. It's truly positionless basketball. You have Dylan Harper, 1, 2, 3, even. Yeah, I guess he could play the 3. 6'6", pretty bulky. Tyson Acuff, 2, 3, kind of played some 1 last year as well. Jordan Durkacz, kind of built like PJ Hayes, so they can both play the 3. PJ Hayes has played some 4 even. I would assume Durkacz is, being a similar build, could even play some 4. You probably don't want him to, get me wrong. But Ace Bailey's going to play a lot of 3, but he's going to play some 4. Martini's going to play some 4 and 5. Like, you just have options now. But PJ Hayes in general, it just gives you a sharpshooter that you kind of hoped you had in Gavin Griffiths, but now you actually have someone that's proved it at the college level. He's done it at multiple stops. At the D2 level, he led his team to back-to-back Final Four appearances, Division II, mind you, but still. Tournament experience is tournament experience. It's not as lively as the D1 level, but it's still a pretty decent crowd, I would say. And then the WCC is not a bad conference. I know people question Durkacz coming up from the NEC, which is probably the worst Division I basketball conference, but the WCC is pretty decent. I know San Diego wasn't great last year, but they do face St. Mary's twice a year. They do face Gonzaga twice a year. They also had a pretty tough schedule out of conference. They faced Utah State, who made the tournament. They faced Arizona State. They faced Stanford. Who else? San Francisco in WCC was a Q1 for them as an away game. So it's not like he's playing trash competition. He's playing some decent competition. He's putting up really good numbers. He's had multiple games of 20-plus points. He had a 33-point game where he dropped 9 three-pointers. 9 of 14 from 3 is just insane at whatever level of the game it is. It's still D1, it's still college basketball, it's still WCC. Like, and if you're a shooter, you're a shooter. So end of the day, as long as you can hit wide-open shots, which you're going to get a ton of, and we said it when Martini committed, we said it when Acuff committed, these guys are going to have so many open looks with Ace and Dylan just driving to the hole and just having guys collapse on them that they're going to be like confusing. Like, oh shit, like no one's guarding me. Like, here we go, corner 3. Yeah. Like, perfect. I think this is insanely good addition. And like I said, you can kind of mix and match these rotations any way you want at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the West Coast Conference isn't by any means the Big Ten or the Big East, but he played a lot of good competition this year. Of their 32 games, 10 of them were against Quad 1 or Quad 2. So there's plenty of games that you can look at and you can say, oh, okay, he played this top team or this top team, and he showed pretty well. Like, if you just run through his power, his high major opponents or his the teams that were Q1 or Q2, you know, Stanford, he didn't have a good game. He had 2 points, but Utah State, 12 points, 3 of 5 from 3. Arizona State, he had one of his best games of the season. He had 23 points, 5 of 12 from beyond the arc. Gonzaga, he had 12 points against. USF, he had 11 points. His other game against that Gonzaga, he had 9 points. The Portland game you already mentioned, where he had 33. If you look at St. Mary's, he had only 3 points. But, you know, there's plenty of times where our top players didn't put up a ton of points either. Just goes to show that he can have big outbursts against good opponents. especially when he's not going to be relied on as even like a, you know, a number two or number three option. You're looking at a guy who's probably at any point on the floor, probably the number four option. And, you know, as a guy who's just at the top of the key waiting to get an open look or in the corner waiting to get an open look, that's perfect. That's exactly what this team needs.
Yeah. Like I kind of said before, they thought this was going to be a Gavin Griffiths type of they thought that's what Gavin Griffiths was going to be like, basically. It's going to be that guy that can stretch the floor, hit open threes, and then cut to the rim and even draw the foul at the rim if need be. But that's the other thing. This guy's been pretty good with contact at the rim. He has a couple games where he's had 6 free throws. He has an 8 free throw game where he went 8 of 8. Like, he's not afraid of the contact at the rim. He's also pretty productive at the rim, like you said. I think you said 94% of his shots came between the rim and beyond the arc or something like that. Yep. So it's just, I think this is the perfect fit, and this is your 12th scholarship.
Yep.
So it's like, that's a pretty damn good 12th scholarship.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah, this is, like you said, this now has built some real depth. You have a lot of guys on this roster who can go get a bucket, who can hit an open shot, something we desperately needed last year. Yeah. Like, how many of these guys who transferred in this year would have started? I think we probably would have like 2 starting lineups against last year's team. If you just take like guy for guy, you know, if you look at Martini, Dirkac.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Acuff, you know, Hayes, all the freshmen, Jeremiah Williams, obviously. But there's just so many guys who would have started on this team last year who are now going to be, you know, secondary players and guys who are in complementary roles. So I think that's going to show most, you know, the second half of the season when guys are banged up. You know, you might have a player who can't go for a week straight. He misses 2 games. And then you have a guy who fills in at 90% of what that player is, who's in the starting lineup, rather than a guy who's 50%, 45%, like we were seeing last year. So there's not going to be that huge drop off when a guy can't go, like when Mawat Mag can't go. We're not going to just see this team fall apart like we did 2 years ago.
Yeah. And you got to give Pyke and crew credit because a lot of people were ranting and raving, saying like, this is, what the hell are they doing? Oh my God, they're sitting on their hands. We don't have the NIL money. I mean, if you look around, like just based on the numbers and rumored numbers that are out there, they did a really good job in rebuilding that entire backcourt for starters to help surround guys around Dylan, around Jeremiah. You got a couple of nice wing pieces. You got a backup wing piece. We didn't know who the backup three. We were assuming it was going to be Bryce Dortch at one point. But it doesn't look that way anymore because you got a guy, Dirkac, coming in from the NEC. You got a guy like him, PJ Hayes, coming in from WCC. Like Tyson Acuff can come in and fill some scoring if you need to be. There's just options. It's just beautiful. And credit to Pyke and crew for putting together, not overspending, I should say, but waiting it out, figuring out who fits where, and not just going for they definitely went for some big names, don't get me wrong, but at the end of the day, they got some pretty good names too. So I think everyone kind of fits well. Now, how are they going to gel is the big question, but that's up to the coaching staff as well. So we'll wait and see.
Yep. And another guy who, another metric we didn't bring up, has a super high offensive rating, 116.5. Like you already mentioned, the highest on the team last year was Andre Hyatt at 104. So now we've probably brought in 5-6 guys who have a higher offensive rating than our best guy last year.
That's great.
So love to see that.
It goes to show you how rough the team. No offense to last year's team, but it wasn't fun to watch. It was rough.
I mean, it was, you know, doomed from the summer, like we've talked time and time again. When you lose a guy who is arguably the best player on a national championship team, That's, you know, that says a lot. Not that Cam is the best prospect, but I'd say he was the most invaluable because something that I felt like Bill Belichick always did a good job of, kind of going on a tangent, is that to avoid complacency, you need to bring in those veterans that haven't won before who can supplement a team that's kind of complacent. So not that they would have been the UConn Huskies team from this year, but to go back to back, it is so much harder to win two in a row. Cause not only do you get everybody's best shot, but it's like, okay, we already won one. It's not that big a deal. Not that that team was built that way, but to have a guy like Cam Spencer come in and really just supercharge the culture that Dan Hurley had built, that really helped. Anyway, like that, losing Cam Spencer was a huge blow. Not that he would have, you know, papered over all of the deficiencies of last year's team, but he would have been a huge help for sure.
Yeah, no, 100% accurate. And I mean, some of these guys coming in are winners too. Don't forget, like, technically not this year, but the year before, Durkak and Merrimack should have made the tournament, but that stupid probationary rule didn't allow them to. They won their conference tournament. Like, it was, it's kind of insane. But Tyson Acuffs too. And Tyson Acuffs, I know they had a rough year this year, but he's put up some pretty decent games in the past. Like, these guys are solid players. I think you're going to see a totally different Rutgers. You're not going to see the typical Steve Peichel rebound defense for this. We're going to hold them under this. It's going to be like, no, holy shit, we're going to score like 75. Like, it's going to be a different team. It's going to be, and then I can't wait. It's going to be so fun.
Yeah, I think we'll take at least a year-long reprieve from the rock fighting for this team. I just don't see how you could even play that way if you wanted to, given who they have on the team right now. Pieces are almost all here to the puzzle for next season's basketball team. It's been a fun ride watching this roster come together. Is there anything else you wanted to hit on before we head out of here?
John Rothstein said Wagner November 6th. I mean, it's news. It's nothing special. It's Wagner. But shout out to Wagner for keeping the program alive somehow by scheduling all the local high major teams, Seton Hall, St. John's, and Rutgers on that schedule. That's just a recipe for disaster, but for them, at least. But yeah, other than that, Seton Hall's on the schedule. Of course, December 14th, it sounds like. Kennesaw State. I'm intrigued to see if that one stays at that convection center. I don't know. It's not convection.
Their home gym.
Yeah, whatever. Their home gym. Yeah, I'm intrigued to see if it stays there because I think you can get a bigger crowd than that. I don't think it would go to Atlanta's arena specifically, which is State Farm, if I recall. But you never know. And then St. Peter's is coming to town too. At Jersey Mike's, sounds like it's still UCLA or Michigan State at MSG. Prudential Center sounds like it's going to be someone different. I know the rumor was Arkansas, but it sounds like they're once with Calipari took over is like see ya. So we'll wait and see what they do there. It could be maybe another Mississippi State game, probably not, but never know. I do expect it to be like a high major, which would be kind of cool. So yeah, other than that, it's we're kind of just sitting here waiting for the schedule, waiting for a big man potentially, but dead period is the 22nd, so keep an eye out on that. That will be that's also active for transfers and football recruiting's on the rise. I'm sure we'll have some news coming out of there next week, 2 weeks, something like that. First weekend official visits coming up.
Yep, a lot of high-level players visiting Rutgers in late May, early June for the basketball or the football program, so we'll have all that covered in future episodes, but definitely want to put that as a primer because this is it happened very quickly where the most important month on the recruiting calendar used to be, you know, way back, January and February, and then it moved to November and December. Now, seemingly, May and June are those hot times where they want to get kids on campus, especially for a school like Rutgers where, you know, when you want to get a lot of guys from the South, bringing them to New York City in December, it's not the most welcoming environment for a kid who's grown up never seeing snow in a lot of cases. So to show them what the campus can look like in the middle of the summertime, it's definitely a lot more appealing for these guys from, you know, North Carolina, Georgia, Florida than what it looks like in December. But
yep. So just wait and see. But I expect a couple commitments this summer, especially some Florida kids maybe.
Yep. Exciting stuff. We thank you once again for listening. Thanks to everybody who entered the contest, the Gimme Gimme Gang contest. Those prizes will go out shortly if they haven't already from Rich.
Shortly.
But once again, we thank everybody for listening, everybody for rating and reviewing. This has been another edition of the Number 4 Podcast.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.